Hello, I'm Luke Halpern from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. Today, we have Dr. Shivang Joshi, an expert in headache medicine, for a discussion on acute migraine treatment, specifically with the combination of meloxicam and rizatriptan, which is Symbravo, an FDA-approved treatment for adults with acute migraine with or without aura. Dr. Joshi will highlight Symbravo's mechanism of action, its use in the broader treatment landscape, and how pharmacists can effectively prescribe and counsel patients using Symbravo. So, Dr. Joshi, thank you for joining us today. Before we get started, do you want to give us a brief introduction and just tell us about your experience and your work?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here again. And so my background, I actually started out in pharmacy school. So, it was an excellent experience. And then I wound up going on to medical school, getting a combined MD and a master's in public health degree. And then I was always really fascinated by the brain, so went on to do a neurology residency and then a headache medicine fellowship in Boston. So currently, I am the director of headache medicine at Community Neuroscience Services in Westboro, Massachusetts, also an assistant professor of neurology at the University of Massachusetts School of Medicine and Department of Neurology. I'm very involved with the American Headache Society, the Association of Migraine Disorders, actively involved in the Pharmacology and Therapeutics Committee of the American Headache Society, as well as some other educational initiatives. So again, it's a pleasure to be here.
Amazing. To start off and ground listeners in the science, could you walk us through how Symbravo works? Specifically, how is the combination of a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, meloxicam, plus a triptan, rizatriptan, intended to address an acute migraine attack?
Let's talk a little bit about mechanism of action and migraine pathophysiology and see how it's interrelated. So the key things that we're going to talk about that are involved in migraine pathophysiology involves what they call CGRP, pain signaling, which is calcitonin gene-related peptide. And another mechanism we're going to talk about is prostaglandin E2-mediated inflammation. So when we think about migraine pathophysiology, we think about trigeminal pain signaling, which is mediated by CGRP and inflammation, which leads to something called peripheral and central sensitization. So when we talk about peripheral sensitization, you have these trigeminal nerve terminal endings that release CGRP and other inflammatory mediators. And when that's continuously firing, it leads to the peripheral sensitization. And patients will tell you coming in that they have peripheral sensitization, but they may tell you that they have a throbbing pain component. So triptans have a mechanism of not only blocking 5-HT1B, 1B and 1D receptors, but they also inhibit CGRP release. So that's one of the mechanisms of triptans. Now, when we talk about CGRP, it's important to know that the CGRP is released within the first hour it peaks, and then it decreases over time. Now, when we talk about inflammation, right? So there's a two-part multi-mechanistic approach here. When we talk about prostaglandin, cytokines, all these inflammatory mediators that are released, they can lead to sort of a release, a peak of this prostaglandin E2 concentration that occurs at 2 hours, and it can remain elevated for up to 6 hours. So you can see this sort of dual mechanism here of CGRP release occurring early and peaking early, and then you have the release of inflammatory mediators, in particular PGE2, at 2 hours and then being sustained for up to 6 hours. So we talked about peripheral sensitization. When you have continuous trigeminal signaling, this leads to something called central sensitization. And this is where you have parts of the brainstem affected, other parts of the brain, the hypothalamus, the cortex, and this continuous firing in the central sort of in the brain, inside the brain, leads to central sensitization. And the way the patients will present with something like this, they're not going to come in saying, I have central sensitization, nor will they come in saying they have allodynia. But basically, they might come in saying, it hurts to touch my skin, or tie my hair up. So that's sort of the basic mechanism. We talked about the trigeminal vascular system. We talked about peripheral and central sensitization. We talked about the role of CGRP. We also talked about the role of prostaglandin E2 and inflammatory mediators.
That was a great explanation. And building on that mechanism that you just described, from a pharmacy perspective, what are key differences between using two separate medications versus a fixed-dose single tablet like Symbravo?
That's an excellent question. I think first, when we look at the multi-mechanistic approach, that is a key difference. So we talk about triptans not only affecting release of CGRP, they also bind to 5-HT1B1D. And then also we talk about meloxicam blocking or affecting prostaglandin E2 and involved in the inflammatory cascade of events. So these are the two things that are involved in the peripheral sensitization as well as central sensitization. So from a mechanistic point of view, this is multi-mechanistic. The other thing I'd like to touch on is something called MTOC. So MTOC is a tool that we use to evaluate the effectiveness of a migraine treatment on a migraine attack. So some of the questions that we ask are, after taking your migraine medicine, do you have pain relief, pain freedom within 2 hours of most attacks? Does your pain go away? Does the pain relieve the headache? And does it keep it away for 24 hours? Can you return to normal activities? Is it well tolerated? Do you feel comfortable enough to take your medications and be able to plan your daily activities? So there are still patients out there who do not have these sort of benefits, whether they're taking an acute triptan alone or an NSAID or another class of medication. So you really have to think about the unmet needs and sort of individualized therapy for that patient. So in that scenario, I do see a role for this where you may have patients that are not getting what they need with current therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. And that leads us naturally into discussing the broader treatment landscape. So in the acute migraine setting, guidelines for prophylaxis are well developed. However, guidelines for acute treatment are less so. How do you see Symbravo filling these gaps in guidance, especially from a pharmacy perspective?
That's an excellent question. I think going back again to unmet needs, so you do have a lot of patients that are maybe diagnosed with migraines or not diagnosed with migraines. Sometimes they're self-treating with over-the-counter medications, and certainly self-treating can lead to medication overuse headache. You certainly have patients that are not doing well on their current triptan, whether it's not tolerated or doesn't work long enough for them. You have patients that are taking whether it's an NSAID or even a GPAN class of medications or even another class of medications called DITANs. So not everybody responds to everything all the time for all their headaches. So again, looking at where this fits would be in someone who is not finding benefit with their current acute therapy.
Beautiful. And from there, let's talk about how this translates to a real-world patient interaction. So what counseling points would you emphasize in a pharmacy setting regarding dosing, timing, and when to seek further medical attention when using Symbravo?
That's an excellent question. I think counseling is very important. Certainly, this is a once-a-day medication. It's ideal to take it at the onset of your migraine. You want to also limit to not more than 2 or 3 days out of the week. Certainly, there's potential for rebound headache when you take too much of something. And certainly, there's differences between a triptan versus an NSAID in terms of how much you have to take to get to rebound. So those are the basics in terms of dosing. It comes in a fixed dose with 10 milligrams of rizatriptan and 20 milligrams of meloxicam built into that. Now, in terms of other important things, certainly this should not be used in someone who's got a contraindication to a triptan or a contraindication to an NSAID. Some of them may include things like uncontrolled hypertension, coronary artery disease, as well as if they have, a history of GI ulcer or significant cardiovascular disease, you need to be cautious with some of these medications and be aware of some of the contraindications that may exist. Certainly, they should be aware of the black box warning that's on the label, and that's there for specifically for the combination of using the triptan, also for the use of an NSAID. So, I think those are the main counseling points. Certainly. if the patients are not getting benefit with their acute medications, you also have to revisit the diagnosis. Is this migraine? Is this something else? Are there other factors? Is there a rebound component? So a lot of things that you can discuss. And I know the pharmacists are really busy. So within a short period of time, it's important to discuss how to use it and what things to watch out for.
Another factor that often shapes outcomes is timing. Considering early versus later administration in a migraine attack is crucial when initiating treatment. From your experience, how important is timing in acute migraine therapy, and how might that apply when using a combination agent such as Symbravo?
So that's a very important question. I think timing is very important. Ideally, you want to take earlier the better. But we have a sort of a unique circumstance here. You know, there is data to suggest that when you take a medication that, you know, not only affects peripheral sensitization, but also central sensitization, we know that from studies that the triptans do not reduce allodynia, especially when you administer 4 hours after a migraine onset. However, NNSAID may provide reduced pain and allodynia even when taken at 4 hours after migraine starts. And part of that has to do with its effect on the prostaglandin E2. The other thing I want to emphasize is that what's unique about Symbravo is that you have this Mosaic technology. So Mosaic technology is unique in that it enhances the absorption of some of these medications. So what does Mosaic stand for? So Mosaic stands for Molecular Solubility Enhanced Inclusion Complex, where you have a cyclodextrin carrier molecule. It's a hydrophilic outer surface with a lipophilic cavity. And what's placed within that is the meloxicam. Now, normally when you take the meloxicam tablet, a good portion of it is not absorbed. We know that meloxicam has a long half-life, but if it's not absorbed, we can't take advantage of the long half-life. So in this Mosaic technology, you also have a pH-modifying buffer. So included in this sort of matrix or mix, you have rizatriptan with this Mosaic technology with the meloxicam. So you have a quicker absorption from the GI tract with better solubility of the rizatriptan, as well as the meloxicam gets absorbed. And then you have the favorable benefit of a longer half-life of at least 18 hours. So that's what's unique about the scenario and this combination versus just taking it separately on its own. So again, taking it early is important. Especially if you're taking any medication. But in this scenario, you know, because of the NSAID, you do have a little bit of flexibility, but we still advise you to take it alone. Take it early, sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. And while we're on the topic of outcomes and how these different aspects can influence outcomes, the overall clinical trial data for Symbravo have been encouraging, which is positive. Of course, clinical trials of Symbravo have demonstrated positive results across a series of key endpoints. But what further real-world evidence or pharmacy practice research would you like to see in the future to support broader adoption of the treatment?
I think that's an excellent question. I think even the sort of the FDA, you know, endorses doing more real-world studies. So this is really important. You know, I think the big difference between the clinical trial and versus real-world data is that in a clinical trial, you kind of restrict it to a strict population of patients. You may also get a population of patients that are, when they're in the clinical trial, you know, sometimes they are sort of a different population that migrate towards clinical trials. In the real world, you have multiple different comorbid conditions, so that's another benefit as well, too. I think that in the real world, you also have opportunity to study this in patients who may have tried or failed triptans on their own. You may have patients that may have tried or failed GPANs or DITANs or even other NSAIDs to treat their migraines. So you can certainly do real-world studies looking at trial and failure of other medications. Another place is sort of looking at other things that are involved in migraines. So for example, it would be nice to see a study that looks at menstrual migraine. And menstrual migraine is something that's you know, more common, obviously, you know, found in women. And these headaches specifically occur around the menstrual cycle only. They're generally a little bit tougher to treat. We know that during that period of time, there are prostaglandins that are involved as well, too, with the inflammatory aspect of the menstrual cycle. And we know that CGRP plays a role in migraine. So it would be good to see a real-world study or even a clinical trial looking at menstrual migraines. Certainly broaden the scope of comorbidity and broaden the scope of treatment patterns and treatment failures in the patient population in the real world.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are some solid points that you made, especially regarding menstrual migraines. And with all that in mind, let's just tie it back to the pharmacy counter. What is the most important message that you'd want pharmacy colleagues to take away about Symbravo when they see it on the shelf or being used within their health system?
So that's an excellent question. In terms of practicality to it, you know, reduce the sort of work that has to be done. What's unique about this sort of fixed combination therapy compared to other previous fixed combination therapy, in the package insert, the FDA has allowed it this is not substitutable. So that's clearly stated in the package insert. So you cannot substitute with the individual components of, let's say, taking rizatriptan and then separately taking a meloxicam dose over the counter. So it's not substitutable. So that's one important thing. The second part is a multi-mechanistic approach here. So we talked about how migraines are, you know, complex neurological disorder. You have things that are involved, including CGRP, serotonin, as well as prostaglandin. So it's a multi-mechanistic approach if they want to explain it to the patient. And sort of this also mosaic technology with this buffer technology allows it to be absorbed better may translate into a better clinical improvement for your patients. And then the other part is also safety, right? So certainly from a pharmacy point of view, you should know that the standard warnings are in the product label, including the black box for triptans, as well as NSAIDs. So if you have a contraindication to a triptan, you can't use this medication. If you have a contraindication to an NSAID, you can't use this medication.
Definitely. That was a great overview. And as we close this discussion today, is there anything else that you wanted to add for pharmacists and patients who are listening?
You know, I think I remember going back to my pharmacy school days, seeing a survey how, you know, the pharmacists are one of, if not the top most trusted healthcare professionals. So I think patients will come to you for advice. And I think, having a conversation with your patients when you see their chart and you can see that they're overusing their medications or coming in for refills early, wanting refills early, you have to think about maybe they're in a rebound cycle. If you see them coming to the counter with a large bottle of over-the-counter combination analgesic medications, think about medication overuse headache, and maybe there's unmet needs there. You know, I think that it's important to know that there are multiple options available for patients, and this being one of the newest options. So with migraines, we have a multi-mechanistic approach too. We talk about acute treatment, we talk about prevention, we talk about dietary triggers, lifestyle modification. But you're really in a position to, direct that patient to maybe see a headache specialist, especially if they're coming in with non-specific treatment or if they're not doing well. There are resources that they can find on websites, especially for the American Migraine Foundation is one of them. The Association of Migraine Disorders is one of them too as well. And certainly there's more credible, reputable, with references, information available on those websites for patients specifically. So I think that's important. And also collaborative aspects. So I'm always, interested in educating pharmacists and also getting feedback as well too. Certainly, when I'm giving lectures, always welcome and invite pharmacists to join because we're kind of working as a team now in terms of treating this disease state.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, that was a perfect way to tie up this conversation. Dr. Joshi, I want to thank you again for taking this time to have this important discussion. I'm sure that our listening patients and pharmacists have learned a lot, as have I. And I'm looking forward to discussing more, hearing more about this drug in the future and the real world impacts and how it can improve outcomes for thousands of patients who deal with this. So thank you. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Pharmacy Focus, a podcast by Pharmacy Times. Be sure to tune into the next episode for more essential insights for your pharmacy practice.